2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to be looking at today. Read just a single verse, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we can assemble together today. We just pray that you would bless as we look into your scriptures this morning. Lord, help us to understand your purposes for us, Lord, what you would desire of us, Lord, that we might be changed into your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And with all of us, as we come to Christ as Savior, we come to Him in simple faith. We come knowing essentially what we need to know for our salvation. We know that we have a need. We know that we can find it in Him and in Him alone. The forgiveness of sin, deliverance from the punishment of hell. But we recognize that when we start out as a baby Christian, that our understanding is usually not very full, that our understanding of all the facets of Christian life is very limited. And the more that we grow, the more the Lord reveals to us, the more that we understand. But I think we realize that sometimes we enter into the Christian life with some assumptions that may or may not be accurate, that we have perhaps certain expectations that we bring to our relationship with the Lord, that the expectations He may have might be totally different. And we understand that what our expectations are may not necessarily be what is God's plan for our life. And we want to understand that it's not that God hid it from us. It's not that He was playing a trick on us when we got saved. It was just that we didn't have the full picture from the beginning. And we think of it, for an example, that we understand God wants to bless us as His people. And of course, we want to have God's blessing. We don't want to have His cursing upon us. We want Him to bless us. But sometimes we assume, well, if God's blessing me, that means I'm going to be happy and comfortable and prosperous, and everything is going to go just fine. But we recognize from the Scriptures that God wants to bless us, but sometimes to do so He has to bring us through sorrow, through difficult times, through times where everything goes wrong. And if we're expecting everything to go well for us in this world, we're going to have a time where we're disappointed. We think, well, boy, this isn't what I signed up for. But then we want to realize that God has something better for us, that if life was just about enjoying all the temporal things of life, then there wouldn't really have been any point of salvation. But this world is not our home. This world is going to pass away. That there's more important things. There's a heaven that we look forward to in the future. That there's a purpose that the Lord has in our lives, and He wants to bless us. And blessing us doesn't always mean that we're going to be happy through it. But we understand in the end that we are going to be thankful. We're going to realize that what He has done is for our benefit, for our greatest good. And so kind of we understand that sometimes in our Christian life that we have kind of low expectations. That this is what we want from our Christian life, and we think that if we get this that we'll be satisfied, that we'll be fulfilled. But we want to understand that God has His sight set so much higher than ours. He has something so much better for us. It speaks in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And so He is preparing something for us. He has something He wants to share with us, that it's beyond our comprehension. And it's going to be wonderful once we receive it. But when we're in the present time where things aren't going well, we're wondering what's happening, we wonder what He's doing, we need to realize that we need to trust Him. We need to not panic. We need to realize that we'll understand it more in the end. And when it comes to our Christian growth, our expectations can be low. We want to be saved from our sin. We want to be saved from all the problems that it has caused us. And especially when we come to Christ as Savior, especially if we've lived a life of sin, of addiction and other things, we want to be free from that. We come to Christ and He delivers us from that. He helps us to get our life picked up again, allows us to have relationships destroyed that have been broken because of our sin. He allows us to get a firm footing in our life once more. But then so often, once we get settled, we think, well, things are going good. I can just kind of, so Lord, just kind of let me coast for the rest of my time from here to eternity, that everything's good. I don't need anything to change. Everything's fine. And I can just relax now. But we realize when we have that thinking, when we think that we can coast in our spiritual life, what happens? Our spiritual life actually grows cold. And it becomes easy for us to backslide. We think, well, I'm doing so well, I don't need to keep going. But then we find that we're actually turning further away and we're going back into the things that the Lord freed us from. And sometimes we think, well, in terms of my spiritual maturity, well, how do I define that? Well, it must lie in the standards that I hold to of right and wrong, the things that I do or don't do, that'll be my judge of how I'm doing, whether I'm spiritually mature. And we recognize that as a Christian we should have high personal standards, but yet they need to flow out of God's Spirit, that He needs to change us, that He needs to bring us along in those. That we understand the error of what is referred to as legalism. It's probably better referred to as externalism. Legalism, we understand this to be the thought that by doing good works that we can be saved, whereas we define it more as externalism. It's the thought of keeping up a certain act on the outside, a certain means of conduct, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we speak, the things that we do or we don't do, that we judge that based on those that we are a good Christian, or we've matured to a proper point. And this can be amongst fundamental leaders today, amongst individuals, that it can be a mistake that we make. That we think, well, because I've come to this point, I've cleaned up my act, I look really good on the outside, well, that's sufficient. I'm mature. But we want to understand that that can really be a source of pride, because it's almost a thought, well, whoever has the highest standards of any Christian, well, they're the best Christian, that they've built themselves up that way. It can be something that we've done ourselves, that we can say, well, I've made myself this way. And our focus becomes just on what's the behavioral aims, and we neglect the weightier matters, the internal things of the law. And the Lord Jesus spoke against the Pharisees for that, that they were a very righteous people on the outside, that they were doing everything that they should, but yet their hearts were far from God. And he spoke to them in Matthew 23. In verse 23 he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise, and come in and omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." That they had looked in the law and they said, well, they are supposed to give a tithe of what they had, and so they were not just tithing what they took in from their basic crops of corn or oil, that they thought, well, even the spices that we grew this year, I have to measure out a tenth of these spices and make sure that I'm fulfilling that. And they said, well, they were so focused on that they missed these weightier things, these internal things that the Lord wanted to deal with them on. And we want to realize that God has His sights set much higher for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says that He became sin for us who knew no sin. And why was the reason? It was so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That He wants us to be changed. He's not concerned with just the outside, although we recognize He wants us to be a good testimony to those around us, that they see us, that we're living for the Lord, that we're bringing honor and glory to Him. But He is much more concerned with the heart, because He knows if our heart is changed, then our outside is going to be changed as well. We're going to act differently. But if we focus on just the external change of this is what I should do and should not do, but our heart isn't changed, when we get into a difficult situation, the heart's going to show itself. And it's not going to be pretty. And so what we understand that the Lord is, what the Lord is concerned with specifically with us as we are Christians and as we grow in Him is our transformation. He wants us to be changed. He wants us to be matured. He wants us to become different. We see this spoken of in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That the word there for transform is the word in the Greek from which we get metamorphosis. It's the idea where you have some ugly little caterpillar that's wandering along the ground in the mud and the dirt, and that they're changed, that they are formed in the cocoon, and out comes this butterfly that is graceful, that's majestic, that isn't bound to the earth anymore, but is free. And kind of what it can be with us is that we can be stuck on the ground in our thinking as a caterpillar. We just say, "Lord, well, I want you just kind of to make it better for me down here. I want you to just kind of spruce things up, but not really do anything." But He wants to do something much greater than that. He wants much broader. He wants to change us. He wants to not just fix our troubles, but to enable us to actually rise above them, to be changed, to be made totally different, made into something that we never were before. That we understand that we're sinners saved by grace, that there is nothing in of ourselves that is worthy of God's love. And we want to understand that He wants to change us. He wants to make us into some different. He wants to make us into saints, people that are holy, people that serve Him with their whole heart. That is what He desires. And sometimes we think, well, doesn't God love me just the way I am? And we understand, yes, His love is constant. His love is absolute. That us doing something wrong will not make Him love us any less. And us doing something right will not make us love Him any more. But because He loves us, because He wants what's best for us, He wants to change us. He wants to bring us into something different. He wants to have His way in our lives. He wants to deal with pride and selfishness and sin that get in the way of His blessings that He wants to bestow upon us. And so that's what we want to understand, that He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to make us different. And we can, in our own mind, have different standards which we think, well, if I'm conformed to this, that makes me a good Christian, that makes me upright and mature. But we want to understand that the image in which He wants us to be conformed to is His Son. We see this in Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That is His desire, that He wants us to be made to His image. And that's the image that we have always before us, that we see, am I mature? Am I totally Christ-like? And we judge ourselves and we're changed into His image. And that's this idea that we see in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That as we behold Him, that as we spend time with Him, that we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. And it's the thought of that if the Lord said, "Well, I want you to grow, I want you to mature," and He said, "Well, it's just a matter of do this and don't do that," of how it's we can do that, but it's not as simple as what He does with His Son. That He essentially, we understand that when we're to be conformed to His image, it's as if He provides us His Son as a template from which our life can be compared to, and He's striving to make us exactly like Him. It's something. If I was to have you come work with me to do a little project, and I said, "Well, we need 20 rafters for this little shed," and I'll say, "Well, it's this much rise and this much of a slope, and the bird's mouth needs to be a couple inches deep." I could give you all the instructions and hand you a saw and a pencil and a square and say, "Well, just make me 20 of those." It would be something, if you weren't used to it, if you'd never done it before, you'd kind of be scratching your head, "Well, how do I actually do this?" But yet, if I cut out one rafter and I say, "This is your template, and just make 19 more exactly like this one," then it becomes easy. You just set it on the other pieces of wood with the pencil. You just scribe around the edges, and then you cut where you've marked with the pencil, and it's something that we can do. And that's how it works with the Lord Jesus, that He is our template. That essentially, that we understand that the Lord puts Him over our lives, and then He works to shape us and make us into His image, and we conform to His image in that way. And we understand that, if our Christian life, our Christian growth is just a matter of do this and don't do that, what happens is it becomes our own self-improvement, this work that we're doing. And we understand that our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's the same with our Christian growth. If we were self-made Christians, if we gained victory because of our own strength, our own willpower, then who would get the glory? It would not be God, it would be us. And that's not the way that the Lord desires for us. We understand that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. In Ephesians 2 verse 10 it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him." That we want to understand that we are His workmanship, that He is working with us, He is making us into something different, that we understand that it is His work, that we are not the ones that do the changing. He is the one that changes us as we submit to Him. That as we behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That we have, it's spoken of in Hebrews chapter 4, that Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, it speaks of there being what it referred to as a rest to the people of God. And verse 10 says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That there is this rest, that sometimes we can think of it, me trying to improve myself, me trying to be a better Christian, that it's all this work that I have to do and struggle, and we try it in our own strength, and we do well for a while, but then we fall back, and we're not really changed. We're trying to fix the outside, but the heart hasn't been changed within us. And we realize that He is the one that is doing the changing. Just as we were not able to save ourselves from the penalty of sin, we can't save ourselves from the power of our sin in our daily life. That it's through Him, through His Holy Spirit, that God began a good work in us when we were first saved, and He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you can think of it, that when we're saved, it's like we're this big, rough, knotty piece of wood full of all kinds of knots and pitch and rough edges and everything else and bark. And the world would look at it and say, "Well, how can that be made into something beautiful, something pleasing to God?" Well, what the Lord does is He puts His Son as a template over top of us as a piece of wood, then He starts working on us. He starts to shape us. And sometimes He has to knock great big chunks off. Other times He starts to plane it and sand it and get us down. And He does that throughout our whole lives. And of course, we're happy with being sort of close enough. We think, well, even though we're not measuring totally, we have different bumps and lumps that are not in conforming to His image. We say, well, it's close enough, Lord. You don't need to work on that with me. But yet, we find that He does that. And sometimes, when we have those little parts that we're so resistant to Him changing, it's like He kind of gets the angle grinder down and just started working away, and it's not a pleasant experience, but He realizes that He has to make us into His image. That's His purpose. And it's for our good. It's for our best. And we understand that He uses trials and challenges and even sufferings to mold us and shape us. And when something happens, we wonder, well, why is the Lord bringing me through this? Why is He doing this? And it's because He's conforming us to His image. That we get upset sometimes. We think, well, isn't the Christian life about being happy and comfortable? But yet we realize that He's doing it for our good. And if we resist His hand upon us, it makes it worse for us. And He's trying to break us of our pride, of our self-will, so He can really use us, so He can really bless us. And we find, actually, with different things that come into our life, that because He is the all-knowing God, He knows what's kind of coming down the pipe, what's going to be in our future. And even though we think, well, Lord, why do I need to change in this? What are You doing this to me for? He knows that there's something that He needs to prepare us for, that He's working with us so that when we come to that situation, we come to that challenge, that we'll be ready. And if we're fighting Him, if we're resisting Him, allowing to change us, that event will come, and we're not going to handle it the way that we should, and we'll realize, boy, I sure wish I would have allowed Him to work with me better so that this wouldn't have been such a hardship to go through. And so we understand that He is working with us, that as we are close to Him, that He wants to change us into the same image as we behold Him. And that's what we understand. Well, how is it that I become a better Christian? How is it that I become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus? How is it me working it up? Is my own willpower? Is it on my own ability to change? We see, as it says in the Scriptures, that we all, and this is to all Christians without exception, that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That when we draw close to Him, when we behold Him, we know Him thoroughly, intimately, we're acquainted with Him, we have a relationship with Him, and it's through the power of that relationship that He gives us the power to change. That the closer we are to Him, the more our weaknesses are revealed, the more the strongholds of sin become evident in our life. And as we draw close to Him, it's not a fight anymore of, well, I don't want to give this up. That we, as we're close to Him, we realize that He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. And we're not resistant anymore. That if He wants to take this part away from my life, if He wants to plane this part down or sand it off, it's for His purposes. It's for His glory. It's for my own good in the future. And so I'm not going to resist anymore. I'm going to allow Him to do a work in me. And that is the thought of our sanctification. That we are saved and we understand that before the Lord it is as if we had never sinned. But we recognize that He doesn't simply want us to save us from the penalty of sin. He also wants to save us from the power of sin in our daily lives. And He's going to work in us. He's going to continue this work till the day of Jesus Christ, until we pass from this life, that we might be changed into His image by the Spirit of the Lord. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and this is where we will end this morning, and this thought of Him changing us, of Him perfecting us, working within us. It says in 1 John 3 and verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." That it is that thought that we understand our salvation as God understands it, as we read in the Scriptures, is not, He is not concerned simply with getting us out of hell and into heaven, that He wants to save every part of us. He wants to deliver us from sin in all its forms. That when we're saved at the beginning, when we trust Christ as Savior, that we're justified, that we're saved from the penalty of sin, that through our daily life, as we are Christians, that we are sanctified, that we're saved from the power of sin. But then one day, when we go to be with Him forever, we understand that we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin, that we're going to have new bodies that don't have a sin nature anymore, that we're going to be just like Him, that that's what He's striving towards. He's conforming us to the image of His Son, and we shall be like Him in the end, that when we go to glory, that we shall be like Jesus. But it is the thought that what the Lord wants us to do now in this life is that He wants it to be gradual, step by step. Keep going higher and higher, closer to the Lord, so that when we go to be like Him, that it's not such a shock to our system. Because imagine if the Lord was trying to work with us and we fight Him and we don't allow Him to work in us and make us Christ-like. What will happen is when we step into glory, we're still going to be made into His image. But essentially, it'll be just kind of a, we'll be down here and this will be the image of God, and it'll just kind of be this rocket elevator ride up to where He wants us to be. But what the Lord's desire for us instead is that as we gradually grow in Him, grow in grace, become more conformed to His image, that when we pass from this life, that essentially we'll just be stepping across. That we realize that we have not attained in this life, that we must ever press onwards to become more like Him, to press toward the mark. But that is our desire, that because we know we're going to be like Him, that we don't fight it, we don't resist it. We realize the Lord is doing a work in me, that it is for my good, it is for His glory, and I need to allow Him to work, that I need to spend time with Him so that He can work, that there is much that He wants to change in me. And we can think, well, I've lived as a Christian, I've been saved for many years, I'm doing good. Well, there's still much for Him to work in us. That it may not be He's hacking off big chunks of our lives anymore. It may just be He's smoothing it down, bringing us closer. And when we understand that His purpose for us is our transformation, that changes our outlook, that it isn't something where an event happens or a difficult time and we react and we say, well, Lord, why are You doing this to me? That we realize instead that it's not a time to draw away from the Lord, but draw close to Him and say, well, Lord, this, I know this is for a reason. I don't know what it is. I know that You're perfecting me, and I'm going to humble myself under Your hand. I'm going to allow You to do Your work in me, and I'm going to draw close to You, and whatever it takes to make me into Your image, I'm willing to do that. And may the Lord help us in that, that we would not be settled or satisfied with just coming along a certain way in our Christian life, just dealing with the external, but that we would truly allow the Lord to work a transformation in us by His Holy Spirit dwelling within us, as we draw close to Him, that we know Him, that we have a relationship with Him, and through that relationship that He gives us the power to change, that He changes us into His image, so that when our time comes to pass from this life, that it will not be such a shock, but instead that we will have been doing His will, and we will just step across and be into His presence, and be like Him and see Him as He is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for your word. We thank you for the work that you have begun in us. We thank you that you do not give up on us, Lord, even though that we are stubborn, even though that so often we doubt your hand and resist your work. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to do right, to seek your face, to draw close unto you, and allow you to do your work in us, Lord, that we might be changed into your image from glory unto glory, Lord, that you would bless us in that way, that we might gain victory over sin, that as troubles come, that you would prepare us for us, prepare us for them. And Lord, we just pray you would help us, each of us individually, that we would allow you to do your work in us, that we might glorify you in all that we do, and that people might see you in us in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll turn to number 330 and sing Fill All My Vision, hymn 330.